Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get 3 pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his 37th of the year.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was life like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Rhett Boone Podcast.
Well, it's time to turn the tables. I'm Brett Boone. It's turning 2 with 2 with Boone. I am Rich Herrera, the executive producer of this podcast. It's now going into how many years we've been doing this, Brett? 6 years?
Thanks. Year 6. Yes, year 6.
A lot of people have tried to copy what the Brett Boone Podcast is all about, and we've seen a lot of people start podcast and then not this one. We keep going.
You look like an umpire today, Rich.
Well, I figured it's safe to wear an umpire hat in front of a Boone because Arnie hasn't been kicked out of that many games.
It's tough. New ABS, it's tough to get kicked out. He finds ways, though. I think he's got kicked out twice.
Twice this year.
Right.
Which, I don't know if you know this, Brett. There are people that play fantasy baseball with umpires. So you'll pick which umpires are working, mm-hmm. and you can get graded on how they do behind the plate, how many blown calls, and whether they throw anybody out or not.
I did not know that, Rich. I am not a fantasy baseball player nor fantasy umpire player. However, I am impressed with the overall quality of the umpire. You know, it's amazing that ABS thing. The more I watch, these guys get it right. I mean, they're like really good. And when they miss, I mean, yeah, once in a while you see miss by 2 inches. But in my day, 2 inches was normal. That was once in a bat. And not saying. Not saying that my umpires weren't great, because they were, but there were no definitive parameters. But since they've defined the plate and what is actually a strike and what's a ball, these umpires are really good. They're really good. You see how the players are even gun shy to even tap their cap because they know they're good. Pretty good. All right, whatever.
Well, off top. Okay, wait, hold on. No. I'm going to stay here. I just want to stay here for a minute. So all this nonsense of every announcer in baseball whining about the umpires in the strike zone, every player grimacing, it turned out that they knew what the strike zone really was, and everybody else was full of garbage.
Yeah, I know, because I've had a couple umpires on the show, and they've told me, said, Booney, they're as good as they've ever been. You know, because 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, it's always the umpire thing. We had it in my day. Complain certain umpires were good, certain umpires were bad, certain umpires were just kind of okay depending on the day. But as time's gone on and the scrutiny's been ratcheted up, just because of the technology we have, and everybody's an expert now because we have parameters. You, by the outcry, you'd think these umpires are horrible. And I've had a couple, you know, retired umpires saying they're as good as they've ever been. And I think this ABS has proven that out.
So again, do maybe some of these loudmouth announcers?
Well, I think they're
owed an apology as a profession.
I don't think they're loudmouth announcers. I just think they're in the booth. And when you do this day after day, you need something to talk about. And this is something that everybody can kind of jump on when you're sitting at home on the couch. Yeah, he's right. It's a ball. Or yeah, he's right. It's a strike. So I think it's more entertainment than these announcers actually having a passion and really thinking, oh, these umpires are no good. I don't think that's the case.
Well, okay. But again, going back to my premise of this is the umpires weren't as bad as everybody thought, but every hometown announcer has trashed the umpires. They've trashed the game. They've trashed the integrity of the game. And it turns out the one profession that's been beaten up over this has been the umpires. The one profession that's been right about it has been the umpires.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's brought a level of integrity to the game that
we were missing for a little bit.
Because these guys don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be on camera. They don't want to get calls wrong. Now, when you can challenge it, and I'm not saying this was always the case, but getaway day, 1997, we're in New York. It's a day game. This umpire crew's got to get to Montreal, and they've got a flight to catch. And it's
they got a commercial flight to catch.
Right. And it's the ninth inning, and it's a 6-run game. That integrity is going to go a little bit like this with the plate. Now, all of a sudden, a foot outside, hey, swing the bat. There's none of that anymore. There's no excuses from the players. It's as tight of a strike zone as it's ever been. And I think it's as well a called strike zone as it's ever been.
Hold on a second. Did you know that the strike zone was going to expand and let's go out there and swing? We got to get this thing over.
Absolutely. But, and I've talked about this a lot, the strike zone in my day, the great umpires, we know their strike zone. They establish it early. They establish it in the first couple innings. I know that he's given a tiny bit off the outside or a tiny bit down. Well, he's probably not. He's going to give me a tiny bit on the inside and a tiny bit up. No, as long as we all know what the strike zone is, because let's be honest, we're not computers. We're not robots. We can't be perfect with the centimeters or the strike zone. We can just do the best we can as a human can do. So that's all you ask for is I know what the strike zone is. I know today with two strikes, an inch off the plate, I've got to fight that pitch off because it's been called consistently. That's all we ask for. The difference now is there is a definitive established strike zone. So each hitter, when you go up there, you know exactly what it is. The thing I'm interested because I haven't talked to the players about it, but I'm interested that late high spin curveball that ticks the upper right hand part of the box and to the hitter and probably to the catcher, it's a ball, but it found a way to tick that box. But that's the thing. I mean, that's an advantage of having probably a higher spin rate is you can get that late break and touch the computer wires, whatever signal ball or strike.
Did you mind though that they were going to speed the game up and expand the zone? Hey Brett, come on, seventh inning.
Absolutely, I minded. I've got an arbitration case.
Okay,
this at bat really matters to me.
One hit a week,
right? It's like last year when we got into a couple games where blowout game either way. And it's position players coming in to pitch. Well, I tell my hitters, we don't stop banging now because getting this extra hit right here for the week over time is going to make a difference. So I used to hate those games because I think it's a circus and I don't want to be part of the circus and I have nothing to gain. But today when the position player and everybody's laughing and having a good, I don't think it's funny. I think it's funny. If I get a hit, I think it's funny. But if I don't get a hit, it's not funny. So get your hits. That, to your point, blowout game, getaway day, plate gets wider. Yeah, if it's spring training, go ahead. I could care less. That's not on the back of my bubblegum card. I want a true strike zone called all the time because if I don't get a hit, I care.
Okay, big question then. Blowout game, eighth inning, they bring in the center fielder. And he can't, yes, he can't throw a fastball. He can barely get the ball over the plate.
Right.
Wouldn't he be easier to hit than a guy that's throwing 98 miles an hour?
You would think, but the level of concentration at that stage is kind of out the window. And it's like you've got to fight to take it serious in that situation. So, yes, obviously the quality of stuff that he's featuring is definitely not going
to
be like.
Wouldn't it be easier to hit
out of the pen? You would think, but you've got nothing to gain. Wouldn't you think a big league hitter coming into a softball exhibition game better hit a home run every time, right? You'd think pretty easy for a big league hitter. But when it comes down to it, you don't really do it for a living. You're not used to it. It's kind of a, we've got a little bit of a circus atmosphere going on where it's serious, but it's not really serious. And it's tough to stay in that zone and lock in. So yes, in theory,
I don't get it. I don't understand.
In theory, it should be easier, but in retrospect, no, not really.
I don't understand though. I mean, a hit's a hit, isn't it? And a bat's and a bat, or is there something that you get so mentally focused and locked in like a racehorse waiting to get out of the
right.
Gate?
And all of a sudden I'm thrown into a non-serious situation with a guy that's got a smile on his face the whole time throwing Ethos pitches.
So why don't I just get up there and do that all the time?
Because over time you'll get your butt kicked.
Because someone will lock in.
Right. I'm talking about for the individual one-on-one, that one at bat. You probably have a better chance of getting a hit than you do off a normal pitcher.
Right.
But I don't think it's overwhelming. Oh, it's 75% chance. I think it's more of a 50-50 at best, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 40-60, which is a heck of a lot better than off a normal pitcher, but it seems like it's almost like added pressure.
Do you not want to get embarrassed?
It's not embarrassed. It's I don't know what it is. It's tough to kind of explain what the emotions are. It's almost like the game's over. This doesn't count. It's become just folly. And
okay, wait a second. Stop for a second then. You have to explain to me then what it's like to climb into the box. And I don't like using this term anymore, but do you have to have a warrior mentality that you jump in? I never like using the term warrior when it comes to sports after 9/11, but do you have to have that locked in warrior mentality that this is a battle and you gotta lock in?
You got to be a Pete Rose, which I've told this story before. Bob Boone told me. He's the only guy he's ever met when he's got four hits, goes 4 for 5, and is not in a good mood. The rest of us, and it makes perfect sense. You know, four hits is a big day. I never got 5 hits in a game, but I've had a few 4-hit games, and it's like, and I ended up probably going 4 for 5. And I thought, oh, who cares? Great day, 4 for 5. Dad said Pete was not happy with 4 for 5. If he had 4 hits, he wanted 5 hits. And I guess that's greedy. That's the over-the-top mentality that very few have.
Wasn't your grandpa Ray like that?
No, like, I don't think. To be honest with you, I don't think anybody was like Pete Rose.
You told me Grandpa Ray would come see you and you'd have a great night. You go 3 for 5, two home runs. And then you go, yeah, but what about that third at bat?
Well, that was just how he was. That's the way he pushed my buttons. Yeah, I could have a great night and he'd highlight the one at bat I didn't get a hit or the two at bats I didn't get a hit. And it would overlook the good things I did. Now, he did it on purpose. And I understood Grandpa and I understood his personality. I understood our relationship. He was just one of those guys that never liked to fawn over you to your face. But
okay.
He was also a man. I knew how he felt. I knew what he meant. I knew he was the proudest grandpa in the world. And I knew as soon as I walked away from him, he would grab anyone that would listen and go, see that kid right there? That kid's a bad da, 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 da. And I knew that. So I let him get away with kind of giving me a hard time because I knew, oh, man, I got 2 hits today. I hit a 3-run homer. I turned a big double play. But I know Gramps is going to talk about that 4th at bat. But that was our relationship. And I knew these were givens.
But it was that generational because he did well. He was a big leaguer, had a great career, but he didn't have the financial success that you had or Aaron had for his time. He did well for his time, but they were hungry.
That was just his personality. He did it with my grandmother, Patsy Boone. Uh-huh. I couldn't imagine. Gramps, he was that old school. He was back in the day. Coffee, he expects his coffee in the mug. He holds it out. Run over and fill it up. And to her face, always nice, always a gentleman, but never complimentary. That woman walk
out job.
That woman would walk out of the room and she'd look at me. He'd look at me and go, see that woman? They don't make them like that anymore. That is a woman right there. So the highest, he paid the highest compliments possible when you weren't looking.
Because you expect that was you were expected to do that. So like on the radio show, I've got very specific breaks I have to hit. And if I hit it right, and I go, oh, you're supposed to be out at 27:50. I get out at 27:49 and a half. I look at my producer like, yes, look, I did. And he goes, well, you want me to give you a compliment for doing your job, jackass?
Right, right.
So you have a special relationship, and we've talked about it's different because you spent so much time with Grandpa Ray as a kid. So you knew him as well as anybody else, right?
Right.
Obviously, Bob. Of the three generations of Boones, who was the hungriest?
Grandpa. Toughest.
Grandpa. Are you and Aaron tougher than Bob? Were you hungrier than Bob?
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty damn tough. Right. I think Aaron's pretty tough cookie. Pretty absolutely. Tough competitor. I don't think he's tougher than my dad. And I don't think my dad's as tougher than my grandpa. I think it's a generational thing. I think, you know, we look at our kids, I look at my kids. Yeah, you're a wuss. You know, I say it obviously kidding, but your generation is soft. You hear that a lot these days. It's a softer generation. Well, I think my dad said that about my generation. I think my grandpa said that about my dad's generation. I think as life goes on and time goes on, and we do have a lot of things that my grandpa didn't grow up having access to. So he appreciated things more. And I think each generation, as we go, each generation a little bit tougher, you know, and as tough as I think I am, I look at my dad and I remember and I'm going, dad might be tougher than me. And then I look at my grandpa and I'm like, dad didn't go through the Great Depression. So I think it's relevant. And I think it's generational. And I don't know if we get stronger, you know, as the generations go on. Is my son going to be tougher than me? He seems like a pretty tough kid. Maybe that's a father-son rivalry. Like, I don't have much, but I look at Jake and I think Jake's tough. I look at Isaiah and Judah. Hey, they're tough. Are they tough?
They're grinders. They're Boones. They're grinders. They're a little
different. Tougher than me? No. But am I tougher than my dad? No. There's your answer.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about this. I'm watching some really good baseball, some really bad baseball, and I don't see people bothered by bad baseball. For instance, the San Francisco Giants are playing horrible right now, yet right. They want to do this little dance when they win once out of 5 days. I'm like, you haven't won in 4 days, and you're standing there acting like there's no big deal.
It's self-awareness to a degree, and that's a thing I think. a veteran in the room, a leader of a clubhouse, that doesn't go out into public and talk about it. But behind closed doors, you keep that in-house. You keep your side of the road clean in your clubhouse, not in the press, not publicly.
Right.
But it's stuff like, because you're right, it's a bad look. Is it with everything else that goes on in the game nowadays? It's not a big deal. If you broke that out in my, don't even go to my grandpa's generation. You don't have to go that far back. Go to mine, let alone mine. Go to my dad's generation and you did stuff like that. Oh my goodness. There would be four veterans tackling you coming into the clubhouse saying, we don't do that. Well, I think today's game is different. And the horse is out of the barn with the way the current Major League Baseball player behaves consistently across the board. I've come around on it to enjoy the entertainment, especially after being with these guys on the field and in the grind every day. I can tell you this. Yes, it's not a good look. But behind closed doors, these players today, oh, they care. You know, we talk a lot about, well, nobody cares if they strike out or da-da-da. No, they're just brought up different. It's a different culture. They might not show you they're angry or frustrated or embarrassed, but they are. They're just a little more poised on how they walk back to the dugout, if that makes sense.
It
but
does.
These guys today, they care. They care. It's just the way they're brought up and the way their culture is and the way they're brought up media-wise, because they get more media training than we used to do. So they're aware of everything. They're very aware of their status. They're very aware of their social profile. They're very aware of how they're seen on social media, and they have a brand to live up to. So the we want to see them kicking and screaming when they don't get a hit, whereas their generation doesn't show emotion like that. They don't show emotion. Still. Right. Whereas I was, I would have to hold it in. But when I was having a tough time, ooh, I was mad. I wanted to snap and I wanted to break a bat, break a helmet.
How many times did you snap and shatter bats in the tunnel?
I would say as a kid, high school, college, minor leagues, I too many to count. I would say as I got a little more, when I got to the big leagues, early on, kind of a temper, a couple of veteran players took me aside one day and said, listen, you're going to burn yourself out. This is the big leagues, kid. This is 162 games. You can't be snapping every time you don't get a hit. You can't be getting angry when you hit a ball hard and it doesn't get a hit. That's baseball. That's called defense. And I kind of took that, you know, at first it was a little offensive to me. How dare you? I'm passionate about what I do. And I, as I went on and got a little more experience, they were right. You got to grow up. It's don't let them see you sweat like a son of a gun inside, because that means you really care. But I, you know, you just learn through trial and error to have a little more of a stoic professionalism about you. And that comes with time and learning. I just think the kids today got that training at an earlier time in life.
Okay, so go through the three generations we could talk about, because you've been around three generations of ball players. And right. We're talking about your dad, because you were a ball boy right. in Anaheim. So you were in the clubhouse. You saw what life was like in the visiting clubhouse sure. in Anaheim, right? So you saw Reggie Jackson, you saw all these guys. So you were fly on the wall. How they handled frustration and snapping and failure versus how your generation, and now you've seen this third generation of ball players as a coach last year in Texas. I think they all care, but is it anger when you snap versus frustration and sadness when they fail?
Put that question.
So when Reggie Jackson would have a bad day, was that anger? Or was it when combo. You did it? It was anger. When they do it, is it anger or is it frustration?
I think it's a combo. I think it's anger, frustration. Just how do you show it? How do you show it? I can't speak for grandpa's generation, but my dad's generation, being around it, there was a lot more raw emotion on the surface to good play, bad play. And you would know on a guy's face real quick. Did he get a hit? Did he strike out in a big situation? Did he make an error? Did he make a great play? It would be brief, but you would know it was legit, outwardly emotional. Good, bad, indifferent. I think today's player is almost comes up through the system where we don't show emotion about good or bad play. Now, celebratory, absolutely.
Over the
We get a hit, that's entertainment. But to show our emotion, how we're feeling running down the first base line, I think that's been suppressed in how these kids are coming up through the minor leagues.
Do you think they've had as much failure? So I wanted to bring this up on the podcast today. Did you see this figure, Brett? Travel League Baseball. Do you know what Travel League Baseball as an industry is worth right now? Do you know how much money? Take a wild guess.
I have no clue.
Just give me a just.
I don't know. Billions and billions of dollars.
Estimate is Travel League Baseball is a 40 billion dollar business.
Yeah, I believe it.
$40 billion.
And it's pretty much irrelevant.
If you are, so I live in Richmond, Virginia now. Justin Verlander, best ball player ever come out of Richmond. It doesn't matter how much money his mom and dad spent. He has natural ability. If I could just spend 40, if I could spend $1 million training my son, you know, Riggs, little left-hander, couldn't throw straight and can't throw very hard. If I spent $1 million, it doesn't matter how much money I spent. He's never going to be a big league pitcher. But these kids.
Right. You know my thoughts, though, on that. You're born a big leaguer.
Right.
You don't make somebody a big leaguer. Okay. There's a certain amount of speed that you have to possess to play at the highest level. Now, there's nothing wrong with being the best you can be at whatever you do. I'm not a singer, nor will I ever. And ever any amount of money you put me in singing lessons, it ain't happening. I'm going to be horrible, but I'm going to be the best horrible I can be if I work at it. You know, that's what we're born with. It doesn't matter how much you play. You could hire the greatest coaches on earth. You've got no chance of being a big leaguer if you don't have it at birth. That's just a fact. Let me backtrack. I don't want to say it's a fact. That's my fact. That's what I truly believe. I believe in kids being kids. I believe in kids playing all the sports. Find out what they're passionate about. We'll find out if you have what it takes to play at the next level soon enough. But I think there's a peer pressure too with this travel baseball. In my day, there wasn't travel baseball. There was Little League. Then you go to Pony Ball. Then you go to Connie Mack. If you're good enough to be picked on the good teams, you're invited there. But it wasn't a financial situation. I played basketball. I played football. I played soccer. I played all the sports. And eventually I found out that baseball's what I'm passionate about and what I'm best at. And then I continued on and got serious about baseball. But my whole childhood, I went through it. 14U doesn't matter if you're on the best 14U team or 15 or six. It's irrelevant, but you can't replace the fact of being a kid is still being a kid. And if you're 12 and all your buddies are on the big time 12U program in your area and you're a good player, there's pressure to be, I got to get on that team. And well, how much does it cost? Well, it doesn't matter. I got to be on that team because that's what kids go through. And those are the pressures of being a kid. So it's a great business model. People are making a lot of money doing it. But as a parent, my kids played travel ball. They just so happened that I was the coach and you know, I had a buddy, Trevor, who was coaching with me, and we didn't charge the kids, so it was free. But he played travel ball. That's the way it is now. But I truly believe if you're a big leaguer, if you don't play, you hear about Bo Jackson not playing until a certain time in his life, Michael Jordan not playing till high school basketball. That's true. It doesn't matter how much you train when you're five to be a big league player. You either are or you're not. Now, making it, you got a certain skill set. This comes into play. What's between your ears? Oh, that's huge on whether you can make it. But you have to have the physical. Now the ones that have the mental to go along with it, get to the big leagues and make a living doing it. And then there's, you know, there's levels of greatness, and we all know that. But I just think it's, and I don't want to call it a complete racket, but it's
a complete racket at $40 billion.
Well, it's not going to turn little Johnny into a big league player if that's what you think you're doing by paying all this money to be on the best teams. Because if you are good enough, we will find you. You will stand out and you will get an opportunity to play at the next level, no matter what 16U team you played on. And I know all the people out there that run this as a business, they're not going to like this podcast.
I don't.
But care. As a player, in my perspective, it's completely irrelevant.
Hey, Brett, you were a baseball rat. You love playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Brett Boone would have done if I would have put you on an 8-under team and took you out of state twice a month and had you play some of the schedule that I see these kids that parents are paying $10,000 a month for you to be on a travel team? What would Brett Boone have been like to have that kind of pressure, exposure, and just the grind of baseball at the age of 8? Would you have flourished? Would it have helped you? Would you have gotten to the big leagues quicker?
Well,
would you have burnt out?
I would have definitely flourished. No, I don't think I would have burnt out if we had that available. I think it would be, if that was, that would obviously be what's going on in the times, and all my buddies are doing it. So that would be normal life for me. I wouldn't know the other life of playing 3 sports and just playing Connie Mack baseball. Because we wouldn't have that experience, nothing to compare it to. So yeah, of course I would have flourished at baseball, of course. And no, I wouldn't have get burnout. I love baseball. That's all I ever did. But I wouldn't trade what I had because I got to experience everything. And I think the kids today would be better if they got to experience everything.
But as an 8-year-old, you wouldn't have been able to. We've had all these stories of you over the last 6 years on this podcast. You wouldn't have hung out with the little man in E and taken off your shoe to pretend you were a Philadelphia Eagle kicker if you were off playing travel baseball every weekend.
That's why I say I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. But if all things were equal, me and my friends wouldn't know the difference. This is what you do. This is the time. But big leaguers are going to be big leaguers. So it doesn't matter what the format is. Yes, of course I would have thrived. Of course I would have been the same player that I am, and I would have made it, and I would have played for 14 years. Yes, of course I would have. It's just a different time and a different era. But I wouldn't have the childhood experiences that I got to have. So,
by the way,
I like the way we did it.
By the way, can you sing?
Maybe one of the worst voices available. I think all arts for me. I think I would have been.
You're very one-dimensional.
I think I would have been a terrible actor. I think I can't even spell play a instrument. And now don't even get the singing is pathetic. I mean, it really is. I'm as bad as there is.
Would you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the 7th inning?
No.
As a player, you wouldn't sing?
No, I might sing a little bit in church.
Would you sing the national anthem? Just,
no. Oh, no.
Maybe you mouth the words.
Yes, absolutely. As long as people are singing along where you're not going to hear me.
Right.
I sing like everybody else, but so you put me, you're not, there's no solos over here.
Right. So, okay. So it's a game. They play the national anthem. You're standing there, hats off. Is Brett singing along to the national anthem with everybody else?
Sure. Sure I am. And maybe silently, but yeah, my lips are
just like you do in church, right?
It depends. We do it every single day during the year.
Right.
So I'm always, I'm always standing, always hat off, hand over heart. Some days I have my eyes closed and I'm thinking about other things. Some days I'm singing along. I'm lipping it.
Seventh inning, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Did you ever sing along?
No, I think as a kid I did in the stands watching dad. Yeah, I think I did.
How much would it take me to get you to go to karaoke with and sing publicly?
$80,000.
Give you $150.
No chance. See, now, back, we go back 10 years ago in my drinking days. You might be able to get sober Brett Boone is not getting anywhere near a microphone where singing is involved. I'm too insecure about how bad it really is. I mean, I'm one of those, you know, those Brady Bunch for, I'm dating myself a little bit here. Those, you know, the Peter Brady, I'm one of those guys. I mean, you want me to,
it's a time, don't you?
Oh, it's awful.
Who's the worst singer, you know? Man. Other than you, who's the worst singer? Anybody close?
Everyone in my family's not good. We're not good.
Boy.
The older, my wife thinks she's good. She's not.
Don't say that.
My mom thinks she's okay. She's not. My grandmother, not Grandma Patsy. That's on my dad's side. My mother's mother. She would sing, I mean, belted out at church. She was horrible. And she thought she was decent, but she was my grandma and it was adorable. And you know what? You've earned the right to do whatever the hell you want. She used to tell me, you know, when we talk about singing, she knew I was a bad singer. She used to tell me, Brett, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I used to look at her and think, you think you can? But I didn't want to hurt her feelings. So I stayed back.
So you would never, serenade your wife.
No, Al. No. Like I said.
Krista, I want to sing this song for you at a special occasion.
No, I could not do it.
All right. I know how much you love your daughter. How about her? Would you ever sing at, let's say, Savannah's wedding?
No. Absolutely not. That would be a Saturday Night Live skit.
No guts?
I've got guts. Not when it comes to singing. And I can't dance either. I don't dance, you know, and the guys that get on the floor and dance, they know they can't dance. And then they go out there and just act extra goofy. It's more awkward.
Would you?
So I don't want to be that guy either.
Would you respect somebody that got up and did it? Horrible Absolutely. Singer. Doesn't matter. Get Absolutely. Up, sing in the public to show somebody how much they care.
Absolutely. Oh, huge respect. Huge respect. Because I couldn't do it.
I would like to see you be that uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, you're not gonna.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
I don't know. Could you act? If I guess, are you watching? Are you watching Dutton Ranch?
Absolutely.
Can I get you to be an extra on Dutton Ranch?
That would be great.
Hey, we.
I would love it. I would love it.
Hey, Rip Wheeler, make it happen. Cole Hauser.
Yeah. Cole Hauser. Oh, I got to get Cole on the podcast. We need him.
Dutton Ranch.
Oh, I met him last summer. Good guy. Yeah, Dutton Ranch is a spinoff of Yellowstone.
It's outstanding.
I just finished the third episode. Really good. And Rip's tremendous. But what's the girl's name?
Kelly Riley.
No. What's her? Beth.
Beth Dutton.
Oh. You can't go wrong with her. She's
he would say, he would probably sing for Kel, for Beth.
Sure, he's an actor. He's paid to. All those actors can sing. They just pull it out of their back pocket. It's part of the culture, I think. You go into
if you ever had a teammate that would stand up and sing, who can't sing, carry a buck in a tune?
It's a tune in a bucket, and tune I know where you're going, and no.
No. I would love to.
Stop.
All right. Just checking.
Stop. By the way, Dutton Ranch, tremendous. Another one out there called Madison. It's also on Paramount with Michelle Pfeiffer, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Really good. And I'm a big Pfeiffer fan, and I haven't seen her in much lately. Really well done. Taylor Sheridan's the executive producer. Really good. Just as good. Almost different, but just as well done as Dutton Ranch.
What can I do to get you out of your comfort zone? Like UFC, would you
shave my head?
Yeah, by the way, that's for those watching on YouTube, Brett's got bad hair.
Just long.
That's awful. You need to go get one of those free haircuts for the guy that hangs out in the clubhouse.
Yeah, the visiting clubhouse. They're not free. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to tip them.
No, they're not free. You got to take charges. Those guys nowadays, they come in there. It's their freight. Guys probably flip them 100. Give them a haircut.
I was fascinated by the conversation with Dana White.
Really good. Love. Really good. You know, I talk about it all the time. I love being kind of outside my genre, outside the baseball arena, the sports arena in general. Something that I'm really a layman at, and that is the UFC. My son loves it. We watched the last fight with Strickland. Isaiah was there explaining to me the rules and, you know, how you get a point and how you dominate and top position and all that stuff. I found it fascinating. Yeah, and I wanted to watch Strickland anyway because, you know, he's the loudmouth that's got an opinion on everything. I wanted to see him, and he won the championship. And then we got Dana White on, and fascinating. He was tough to reel in, but he was really interesting. You know, I asked him a question, and next thing you know, he's talking about a 1954 Mickey Mantle card, which I know nothing about, but I do know it's probably worth a pretty penny.
Well, we did find out you're not a sports fan like the rest of us.
Right.
You're an athlete, not a sports fan.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. I've known that forever. But here's where I'm going with. You've been hit by a fastball in the ribs 100 miles an hour, right?
Probably.
Right? I mean, you've been hit.
Yeah.
One of those terrifying things. If you ask somebody who's not a baseball player, they say it's one of those terrifying things that nobody wanted to stand in there and let somebody just hit you in the ribs.
Right.
Get plunked in the hit in the butt, hit in the thigh, whatever.
Not a big deal. I asked him about that. I said, because a guy like me, I'd be terrified to get in the ring, get punched in the mouth by Strickland. I would be terrified to go across the middle in the NFL and get blindsided by a middle linebacker. But getting hit with 98 does not scare me. Now, I don't like it. I do not want to get hit by it, but I do not fear it.
You're not leaning into it.
But going across the middle, I'm going to be dreaming about it the night before. Whereas,
would you have alligator arms where you just like hold in and not?
Well, I just think it's because it's not what I do. I've been getting hit my whole life because that's when you're a hitter. That's the risk you take is you might get hit. So we're used to it. It's not a fear. Of course we don't want to get hit, but it's no big deal. I think if you're an NFL receiver and it's what you do, we go across the middle and sometimes we get smoked. If you're a fighter getting punched in the face, that's what we do. But I'll guarantee you a wide receiver would be scared to death to get in the box and get hit with 98 in the ribs. Like you say, I don't know about a fighter. They're at a different level of crazy. But I don't think even the, you know, from our time, Mike Tyson, one of the baddest men roaming the planet.
Right.
If you told him to get in the box and get hit with 100, I think he'd think about it and get a little bit worried.
So do you find that odd that you wouldn't get punched in the face by somebody, but you would have a baseball hurled that's as hard as a rock and you're okay with that?
Well, that's because that's what I do.
Okay, so tell me this. Would you be terrified to drive a NASCAR?
No.
That could kill you.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm driving the car.
No, you're driving the car, but you're in a pack three wide backstretch of Daytona You don't know. You're inches away from the other guy.
Doesn't matter. I've got control of the wheel. I don't have
control. Yeah, but you can't control the guy that you can't control the guy in front of you that might check down and miss it and wreck you and spin you and flip you upside down.
Doesn't matter. No, not scared at all.
Because you're in control.
I'm in control. Getting punched in the face by a heavyweight.
You're not in control.
Ultimate Fighter? I don't like that. Yeah.
Because Because you're not in control?
Because I never got punched in the face by a professional.
No, there's I get that part. So if you're in control, you're fine. But if you're not in control, that would scare you.
Right. That's why coaching's so hard.
Because you're not in control.
You're not in control.
Would you? How do you think you would do if you got to be one of the Blue Angels and you're in that tight formation?
Well, I'd have the skill to do it. I'd be fine. I think if I was a fighter and I trained to be a fighter and that was my passion, and 5 years from now, I've been in, it wouldn't be a big deal anymore. But the fact, it's the unknown. I've never got hit in the face by a professional. And there's a difference between getting hit in the face in a barroom fight when you're in college or right. at a frat party than getting hit by a world champion. There's a difference. And I don't want to know what the world champion's punch in my face feels like. How about that?
All right. How about an amateur? Would you let an amateur?
No.
Would you feel okay? Which one of the boys? Rich, which one of the boys fights?
Rich, I don't get in fights anymore.
I know.
My fighting days are over.
But if Isaiah wanted to get in there and spar with you,
Isaiah is not scared in the slightest
of getting punched in the face.
No.
But how about Ted got in there scared as well?
I guarantee you, he's worried about getting hit by a pitch.
That's so interesting.
He's not a hitter, but I'll tell you what, he ain't scared of getting punched in the face. Where his dad doesn't want to get punched in the face.
That's awesome. All right, hey, let's wrap this up. Wanted to talk to you about something. So have you got any games? What was the last game you went to?
What did I go to the last? I was at a Padre game a couple weeks ago.
I went to an Nationals game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You got any plans on going to any games?
When's my next? I got to go to Cincinnati for an event. We've got an event in August for the Mariners.
Oh, what's that?
That'll be interesting. They're naming the, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say it, 50 greatest players in the franchise. They're recognizing, I think it's a whole
weekend
to kind of tribute to the Mariners. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys up there. That's in August. I'll have a few more games here and there that I'll be at. I'm sure I have some events. I'm going to Atlanta. I have an event up there, so I'll probably see a game there. But I see lot of games on TV, Rich. You know, as that Odyssey insider, I got to be well versed.
I know you do, but I love how you just glossed over. I'm going to the Mariners. They're doing an all 50 team, you know, anniversary of the 50 years of the Mariners. They invited me.
Well, it's kind of a
big deal.
Well, I just don't know if I'm supposed to announce it yet. I don't know if they've...
Well, they're having the event. You're there, so there's an opportunity for you to be recognized, is what I'm saying.
Well, they're recognized, right, the 50 greatest players in Seattle Mariner history on the 50th anniversary, so...
And you're... Yeah. Obviously, we know you're one of the 50 greatest Mariners of all time.
One would assume.
Kind of nice.
I don't have the details.
Kind of nice to be thought.
And I don't even know if I'm supposed to say anything. So if I'm not, tough.
I hope I don't get you disinvited.
You might.
All right. I want to go.
Not allowed. Just for my favorite people to go.
My wife go with you then?
Yeah, she'd go.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I will just tell you that's pretty cool though.
No, it'll be good. I look forward to going up there and seeing the guys anyway.
I just like going to Seattle with you and watching everybody ooh and ah like you're a Backstreet Boy.
Yeah, I used to have that Backstreet hair.
Yeah, that's what I like seeing.
Yeah. I always like going back home. It's kind of professionally, that's my home. I always like going back.
That's it. All right, that's it for the podcast.
Wrap it up.
Let's go.
How do you wrap up like that? You want me to wrap it up, even though this is
like
not my show?
It's supposed to be yours.
Thanks for.
Oh no! Wait, I got one. Hold on, I got one more subject I didn't get to.
Hurry up.
Can you give me two more minutes?
Yeah, James is going to be pissed, but let's go.
All right, I'm mad. I live in Virginia, so I get to see everything going on at the White House. It was just up there a couple weeks ago. They're starting to put up the scaffolding and everything for the right, Dana White fight. Hey, baseball, why don't we have a baseball game on the lawn of the White House?
It's not big enough.
I'm sure you can fit a diamond in there.
Rich.
It's pretty big.
Rich,
it's
really
Donald Trump. He can figure it out.
You know how much would go into that? You have to make a regulation big league baseball field for one day. That's not a baseball field, and then turn it back into the front lawn. It's impossible.
I need baseball to step up for $250.
Well, I don't think you're gonna have. You can go down the street and watch the Nationals play.
All right, I just thought of that. You know what?
That was a horrible last 2 minutes spent. I could have been out of here 2 minutes ago.
All right, then we're wrapping everything up. I thought you'd
go on. Check us out now. If we're on, if you want to watch us, check us out. We're now on YouTube. Those of you that download the Odyssey app or wherever you like to download your podcast, check it out. Till next time, keep it here.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe and share. That's what they say. Share, like, and subscribe.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.